Somebody down! Put!
All Packers, all the time.
But I had somebody retweet it to me and say, wild throw, question mark? I mean, no. Like, good throw, but also I would say, like, if Aaron Rodgers made that throw, we wouldn't even be talking about it. We'd be like, oh.
Okay, most of the time.
Almonds specifically, or all nuts?
Well, these nuts, those nuts, whatever nuts work.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, brought to you by Boucher Automotive. With 16 different new car brands and over 35 pre-owned brands to choose from, Boucher Automotive, we are driven by you. And by the Bridgewater Modern Grill, nestled in the heart of Milwaukee's emerging Harbor District, enjoy a specialty crafted menu centered around a custom oak-fed grill.
Live this morning from 1848 Coffee in New Berlin. Make sure you stop by 13575 West National Avenue. It is Customer Appreciation Day. Free drip coffee and cold brew until noon. We welcome in Jason Wilde, our Packers guy. Jason, are you a coffee guy? You drink coffee?
I am a creamer guy. I drink coffee so I can
with a splash of coffee.
Yeah.
I don't do a lot of caffeine.
I'm sure I would love 1848. I mean, I love like mochas and stuff like that. But these folks who drink black coffee, including my radio partner, I need some sweets and some flavor. That is not my jam.
There is flavor within the coffee, Jason.
I think it comes with age. Because I always used to drink black coffee up until about 6 months ago, and now I have to have something in it.
What? You don't drink your motor oil coffee anymore?
No.
What?
I'm with Jason. I'm like,
what?
I don't know. Taste buds change.
Jason, should I do an espresso shot? Should I do the espresso?
I think you should do two of them.
Man Campbell style. That's what I said.
The show could get very off the rails, but I guess the argument could be made. What's new?
Do it for the show.
Jason,
yes, exactly.
Jason, Dan Orlovsky made a comment yesterday. I know the standing. I know the relationship. I know the Dan Orlovsky thing, but I want to ask you the question that Dan Orlovsky posed yesterday. Ashton, let's hear from Dan Orlovsky before we talk to Jason about it.
I want someone to explain to me, because I hear this and I continue to see the low expectations. Where's the flaw of the football team? This is a football team that last year won 8 games with a quarterback with a broken thumb and being able to do nothing on offense because of it. I don't know where the flaw of the team is and or roster. If the flaw of the team is that we don't know what Jordan Love is, I understand it's the preseason, but my goodness, he's looked good in preseason.
Jason, how would you answer that question? Where is the flaw in the 2023-2024 Packers roster?
Well, first of all, I don't know if you guys heard LaFleur yesterday, but if Dan Orlovsky wants Matt LaFleur to hire him, which apparently he did want to do, he should probably talk to LaFleur about how he views the preseason and how he's handling the expectations for Jordan Love. Dan's got a job to do. He does it well. I want to see what Jordan Love does in games that count. And I know Dan Orlovsky is a former NFL player, but I know a lot of former NFL players, and they tell me that preseason doesn't mean jack, and I'm going to listen to them. There are certainly reasons to be encouraged by Jordan Love, no doubt about it. And I think Packers fans have every right to be encouraged and be hopeful. But I still think when the head coach is trying to keep expectations under control and Dan Orlovsky says stuff like this, that would be diametrically opposed to what Matt LaFleur is doing. Matt LaFleur said yesterday that somebody asked him, Kyle Malzahn from WFRV up here in Green Bay asked him how he feels about where the team is at right now. And Matt LaFleur's answer, I actually tweeted it out last night. I don't usually do the video capture thing. But Matt LaFleur's initial answer was, I never know how to answer that question. so I'm not going to. And then Domofsky asked him about Love's plan, and then Matt, being the nice guy that he is, circled back and said, hey, I don't want to do you like that. Here's why I don't like answering that question. He likes the team's attitude. He likes the team's competitiveness. And then he said, but we haven't even played a real NFL game. And then later, he said, you're playing with guys and against guys who aren't even going to be on your roster. Now, in Jordan Love's case, yeah, he looked good against Cincinnati. How many defensive starters did the Cincinnati Bengals play against him? One. When they had their most successful drive against the Patriots, correct me if I'm wrong, but the Patriots' starting corners were not on the field anymore. Now, again, should that completely obliterate the good things he did? No. No. Again, there is nuance in this. What he did was good, and you should be encouraged by it. But to present the 2023 Green Bay Packers as a team that isn't a flawed football team, I mean, you know, Dan, give Chewy's number to Dan. I mean, maybe you should give it to me since I keep texting that random guy who has his old number. But give that so Dan can understand how hard it is to play tight end in the NFL as a rookie. Like, I can't tell you how many passes I've seen Luke Musgrave drop in practice. Now, has he made breathtaking plays? Absolutely. Is he a genetic freak who is huge and runs like the wind? Yes. So you could be excited about him. But be prepared for the growing pains, too. The roster is flawed. And even if you want to only say that the flaw on offense is youth, that's still a flaw in the short term. And, oh, by the way, listen to the general manager saying, we're not here just to win some games. We're here to win championships. And sometimes to win championships, you have to give players room to grow and improve and get better. And that's what they're doing this season. So, you know, if Dan Orlovsky wants to do that, more power to him. But it makes those of us that are trying to set the table for realistic expectations and an understanding that there are ups and downs ahead, and to be prepared for both and to enjoy the hell out of the ups and also be understanding that the downs are coming too. I don't know how that's helpful to a fan base to talk like he is. But, again, he can do whatever the hell he wants.
Jason, is there going to be a surprise cut, not a big splash cut, not a, you know, a starter type cut, but will there be a sizable cut like a DeGuara or someone like along those lines?
Why are you always trying to get rid of DeGuara?
Because he's not very good.
Well, guess
I mean,
what?
Jason, if they only kept three tight ends, right, if they only kept three, which I don't know why they keep four, but if they only kept three and Smitty – Tosh refers to Tyler Davis.
Yeah, Tyler Davis, yep.
If he did not get hurt, you don't think they possibly would have got rid of DeGuara?
No, you know why?
Why? Oh, because he can block.
He's not a tight end. He's not a tight end anymore. He's a fullback.
Oh.
Like, they need to change his demarcation on the roster. Like, when they warm up, when they do individual drills, now Henry Pearson has a injury, so he didn't practice the last couple days. But he's not with the tight ends. Like, he's doing individual drills like he's William Henderson. So he's not a tight end. Like, yes, is he going to line up there on occasion? Yeah, but they're keeping him because he's their tight end. He's their fullback. Like, he's their poor man's Kyle Juszczyk. I don't think they're going to be handing him the ball or anything. But they definitely now are going to have a fullback component in their offense, and he's the guy. So that's why he's not going anywhere. To your bigger question, I think this league has changed so much from when you played in it. Like, I was always trying to figure out when you were playing who's going to be the surprise veteran cut that we're not going to see coming. And now, it's still possible. I get it, but I just don't think that's how this league operates. Like, you kind of commit to your team more or less when you put it together in the offseason. Now, could it be a guy like Jonathan Owens, who they signed and I thought was going to win the safety job next to Darnell Savage, it was going to be Savage and him as the two starters. I suppose because Rudy Ford, at least to start the season, is the new starter, and he was the old starter when they benched Darnell Savage. So I suppose somebody like that is possible, but again, I don't think there's anybody that, you know, if they cut Pat O'Donnell and keep Daniel Whalen, the Irish lad who's been kicking the ball very far, I don't think I'd be surprised by that either. So I don't think there's a surprise cut coming. And of course, now that means there's totally going to be a surprise cut coming.
Jason, did you happen to see the comments of Giannis Antetokounmpo about signing an extension with the Bucks?
I absolutely did.
Would that be very similar or different to what you've heard out of Aaron Rodgers over the last handful of years in Green Bay?
Aaron Rodgers never said it that directly publicly, right? We would agree on that, Gabe?
Yep.
Yeah. I wonder, and again, I do not want to go down on Twitter, who don't seem to understand when you post the poll question that it says right in there, aside from simply cheering, rooting for Jordan Love, what other reason? So if you don't have another reason that you're so supportive of Love, then don't frickin' vote, okay? We got 3,000 votes on it. I don't need your vote. But if Aaron Rodgers says that, and then you compare it to someone who's beloved like Giannis, both of whom won titles, by the way, for their fan bases, people react as Aaron Rodgers shouldn't be saying that kind of stuff. That's not a portion of the fan base. I would say the majority of the fan base would say he shouldn't be. That's not his. Stay in your lane. And yet when Giannis says it, we all agree. Like, I get why he's saying that. But if Aaron Rodgers would have said that, how would that have been received as compared to how it's received when it's Giannis saying it? That's my question.
Gabe, Jason just basically said to you, boom, roasted.
Well,
because
no.
Gabe doesn't agree with it, Jason.
No,
and I totally agree. We have to be consistent here.
The difference to me, Jason, is Giannis has been nothing but honest. And you can, so I take that and I look at it and I go, yes, that makes sense. Aaron Rodgers operated with a little bit of disingenuous in him.
Passive aggressive.
Over the last couple of years in Green Bay. And that's the difference. Like if Aaron Rodgers said this in 2014 or whenever a contract was up, when he was, to me, at his top of his Q rating, doing the show with you every week, giving people an insight into his life, I think people went, yeah, that makes sense. Aaron Rodgers says this after everything else that has happened and the dishonesty that's happened at times with him. I think you take it a little differently.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you on that. I don't. Where I would say this should have occurred was 2016. Because he tried a more subtle approach after they got run out of the frickin' gym in Atlanta. And he made the – and this was when Ted's health was an issue, and they were a rudderless ship in terms of the GM. And, you know, to some degree, Russ Ball was like the shadow GM. And Aaron Rodgers got up there after they got blown out and said, you know, we have to reload, I believe was the quote that day, and, you know, we need a couple of pieces. I think he should have been – this direct, because that predates what you're saying about this kind of disingenuousness,
100%.
Right? Because they win the title, they win the title in 10, they're 15-1-11, 12, again, they get hosed in Seattle, which is the difference between having the bye and the 49ers having the bye and having time to put in all the read option stuff, especially for the playoff game for Colin Kaepernick. 13, he breaks his collarbone. 14, they pee down their leg in Seattle when they should be in the Super Bowl. 15, Jordy blows out his knee. So that window, even though I think they could have done more to have better chances at another title after 2010, they still were in position as long as Rodgers was healthy. 16, he carried that team all the way to Atlanta. And that was his opportunity to say, hey, we have to do more. This was not good enough. We were 4-6, and I put this team on my back, and we got this far, and we had Ladarius Gunter covering one of the best wide receivers in football.
That was bad.
You're trotting him out there like he's Deion Sanders against Julio Jones. And by the end of the game, we had LaTroy Guyon playing guard. So we got to be better. And I don't want to play here if we're not committed to winning a title. If he says it then, I agree with you and Jen that it's different and it's not passive aggressive. But I would argue, and I keep telling people this, and I said this last night when I was at the Avenue, if he thought that they would have spent the money the way he wanted it spent on veteran proven players, I will go to the wall to say that he would have taken a pay cut. And instead, he was so pissed at Goody, he just said, blanket, I'm going to take as much money as I can. And I'm not saying that that's right, but if he had been absolutely direct, certainly there would have been naysayers. But if he says that after the game in 16, instead of trying to be nuanced the way he was, I think it's pretty well received because he would have had plenty of evidence, starting with Ladarius Gunter trying to cover Julio Jones.
Jason, sounds like it'll be a pretty good conversation on Wilde and Tausch this morning as well. Thanks for hanging out with us today.
All right, everybody, enjoy your espresso. Take care. Be good.